being the 30, yeah, 23 is the first, yeah. See, you got me all mixed up, Pastor. Read Psalms 32, if you stand, please, for reading. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you. While you may be found, surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Your righteousness sing, all you who are upright in heart. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So we sing this song, and here's what it says. And I believe this is everyone's heart in this place, because I think this is where we kind of start out every day. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. Wouldn't it be nice if that was always true, right? But that's our goal, right? Because we have to shoot for the best, right? If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. And if you say to trust, I will obey. I don't want to follow my own ways. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me.
Amen.
That's a picture of what we really want. That's our goal, right? That's our goal as Christians. And I think we all agree with that. But we also realize that we're human. And that as much as that is our goal and that's what we want to do, and whenever God speaks and whenever the Spirit leads us, we follow, and that's what we want to do, we don't always do it that way. And so, you know, it's up to us to determine what we do with that, because I don't know what you do with sin, but people handle sin differently. People handle mistakes and failures differently. But it's important that we navigate them right, because the bottom line is that they should never take us down. We can have a bad day and get right back up again and go back to where God wants us to be. And that can still be our story every day, right?
Amen.
You know, we're not hypocritical that we sing this song and then we have a hard day, because this is like God's perfection that we're looking at. And then we have our humanness, right? And it doesn't always work out. But the bottom line is God's in all of it. You know. Here's the thing. It says here in this passage that blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I feel very blessed that I'm forgiven from the things that I do, right?
Amen.
That when I fall short of that standard, the one thing that I sing and the one thing I believe in my heart, and God knows my heart's there, God knows your heart's there. But when I fall short and I don't quite come through, you know, I feel very blessed in my life that God's forgiveness covers those things. You know? But you know, sometimes it's like when we're dealing with stuff in life and we're dealing with our humanity, we're dealing with the fact that we aren't always able to carry that out. A lot of us handle it differently. I can remember when I was younger, and I say younger maybe like 2 weeks ago. No. Well, that's younger, right? I mean, there are times that we make mistakes and we feel so bad about them, and we almost feel like, God, I'm just gonna go over here for a little bit, I'm gonna deal with me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And it's like we want to hide, we want to like shy away from the Lord, we want to deal with it, Lord. You know, man, I really wanted to do that right. I can't believe I did that, Lord. Okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And then we walk out of there and we don't really deal with stuff. And the thing about it is that our relationship with the Lord needs to be so strong. And our understanding of the fact is that God's forgiveness covers, and that we're blessed because of forgiveness. Why in the world would we stay away from the Lord who wants to pour out his forgiveness that blesses us? You know, I know it's just a crazy thought. Like, you know, should we sin more so we can get more forgiveness? No. Okay. So Paul would say absolutely not. But here's the thing. We don't need to be afraid of admitting our sin to God. We don't need to be afraid of our trespasses. We don't need to be afraid of having this conversation like, God, I know I told you I would never do that again. But I don't know what I'm talking about. I can't seem to stop. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't know why I do that, Lord. Man, I told you I wouldn't do that. And there I am again. And Lord, I don't know what's going on inside of me, but I need to deal with something. There's something inside of me that I'm not aware of that I know you need to change. And I don't even know what that is, but God changed me because I don't want to do this anymore.
Amen.
And that's an honest conversation with God, you know? But so many times people just kind of want to cover it up. We want to cover over those things. And it says here, this is what David wrote. He said, "When I keep silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long." Does anybody know what that feels like? When I stay silent and I just deal with it and I cram it down in there and I pack it in and I just say, you know what, if as long as I can stomach the sin long enough, eventually I'll feel okay and I'll feel like I can go back to God and we're good. You know, it's almost like these families don't really deal with stuff. You know, the stuff comes up and it's like, no, everybody knows there's a problem, but nobody wants to talk about it. So when they get together, they're all like, hey, it's really good to see you and everything's, you know, it's like they have this fake relationship, you know. Like, we don't need to have a fake relationship with God and act like everything's okay, because sometimes everything's not okay. Sometimes there's stuff in us that's not okay that needs to be dealt with, and we just need to say, God, you know I'm not okay right now. I know you're okay, you're always okay, but I'm not okay. And it's okay for me to have that conversation, because if I don't have that conversation, I'm going to feel like my bones are wasting away, and I'm going to groan through it. Like, God, I'm so fed up with me. Anybody been fed up with yourself before? You just want to smack yourself? You know what I'm talking about? I've been there. It says, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped in the heat of summer." There was a time where, like, when we held on to this stuff and we felt such conviction, we knew it was wrong, but we keep doing it. We know it's wrong, but we keep on acting like everything's okay. Eventually you're going to feel God's hand upon you, and he's like, you know what, I want better for you. And it's like that hand of conviction that you finally say, you know what, God, I know. How many of us have to be convicted to get where we're supposed to be? I mean, it happens all the time, right? He said, then I did this. "Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." I had this conversation with you. It's like, I finally acknowledged my sin to you. This is what I did. And some of you say, well, God already knows what you did. Yeah, he knows what you did, but here's the thing. We need to know what we did. You know what I mean? Sometimes we don't really get what we did. You know, we don't really understand the seriousness of it. We don't understand that what we're doing is actually tearing away at our relationship with God. And God's like, will you just come here and talk to me about what's going on inside of you? And so he says, "I acknowledged my sin and I didn't cover it up anymore. And I just confessed my transgressions to the Lord, and he poured out his forgiveness." And what is forgiveness again? That's a blessing.
Amen.
Verse 1, right? So he poured out his blessing on you. Anybody want to be blessed in this place?
Amen.
Well, then pour out all your iniquities before God. Let his forgiveness cover you and feel the blessing, right?
Amen.
Feel the burn. "Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach them." Let everybody who is godly, let everybody out there who sins, let everybody out there who makes mistakes, let everybody out there who's a failure and they're godly, let them pray. And then some people think, well, when I feel like that, when I'm in the middle of failure, when I'm not doing things right, when I'm sinning, I don't really feel like boldly approaching God, and I don't even feel godly anymore, and I'm not even sure they're talking about me. Anybody ever felt like your godliness that you felt last week is gone because you messed up? Like you're just no longer acceptable to God, that, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, I mean, it was okay back then. I was having a decent week. I felt like I could have some conversation with God, but I went and did the very thing that I told him I wouldn't do, and now I've got to go back to him and have that conversation again, and I don't think I can. And I mean, I don't know if this is just the way I kind of went through things growing up in the faith, but maybe somebody else here has experienced this before, where you just feel like, man, I just don't think I can do this again. And God says, you know what? You're still godly because I'm in you. I'm the one who justified you through Jesus. And the thing is, if you're justified before me, then come before me. And it's going to be okay. We can have this conversation. But so many times we just avoid the conversation. But there's a blessing waiting for you. For anybody who will have the conversation with God to say, you know what, I sinned, I messed up, I failed, there's a blessing waiting for you.
Amen.
If you're willing to have that, because God's forgiveness is going to pour over that because you are justified through Jesus.
Amen.
But it's time that we stop justifying our sin, because the word justification means righteousness. To justify something means make it righteous. We are never going to justify our sin, ever, before God. We're never going to say, well, you know, it was kind of okay that I did that because you understand what's really happening in me right now. I'm dealing with some stuff. And don't try to justify your stuff before God because you'll never make your stuff righteous. Only Jesus makes you righteous. So we don't need to be in the justification business. We just need to be in the business of coming clean and talking to God. And I can tell you that for anybody who says that if you need to make it right, you need to stand before everybody and just tell everybody what you did. You know, that is not scriptural. The scriptural side of it is you get before God. When David sinned and he was with Bathsheba, he came before God and he said this. He said, I have sinned against you and you alone. Amen. He's like, my issue is with you. My issue is not with anybody else. My issue is with you. And the bottom line is that the issue was that he sinned before God and he got real before God. And he said, God, I need you to pour out your forgiveness in my life because I know there's a blessing waiting in the midst of this pain. And there are some of you today who you have some sin in your life and things that are kind of weighing you down. And you feel really heavy over it. And the thing is, God says, I have a blessing waiting for you, but it comes through my forgiveness. But we need to have a talk, right? We need to have a conversation. And you know what David says? He says, you're my hiding place. You're my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble, and you surround me with songs of deliverance. This is a picture of when you finally have this vulnerable conversation with God, and you say, look, this is what I've been doing. This is where I'm at. This is the mess I'm in. You get this picture that God's protection covers you up and then that vulnerability no longer feels vulnerable, you know? That God covers you up and he brings deliverance to you and he protects you from the outside. Like he provides like this bubble around you that he protects you while you're in this vulnerable state and you're having this conversation with him. Not only is he pouring out a blessing over you, but he's protecting you at the same time. And for some of us, as we're dealing with things of sin in our life, we think about all the things that could happen to us because of the things that we've done. And I want you to know consequences are a real thing in life. Believe me, they're a real thing. But there's also this side of things that God oftentimes steps in those situations and he brings protection and he covers us in the midst of those things because he knows what we can handle. Because he knows you better than anybody knows you, you know. And he covers you during those times you feel completely uncovered. And he covers you when you feel like you're worthless and you feel like you're not godly and there's nothing left in you that's any good. He covers you during all that stuff. And he says, I want you just to understand that I'm the one who made you righteous. You didn't. And you're the one I love and you are godly in my sight because you're righteous before me because of Jesus. And I want you to stand here and I want you to have a conversation with me because I don't want there to be anything that gets between us. And when you get a picture of God that way, it's like, you know what? My issues are not really an issue anymore. You know, it's like shame and guilt no longer has a hold on me anymore. You know, I can't tear myself down and I can't be stuck in the guilt and in shame anymore because I realize that on the other side of the conversation I'm getting ready to have with God is a blessing and forgiveness that pours over me that nobody can take back. Man, when we get a hold of that, it changes everything. Nobody can guilt you anymore. Nobody can put you in shame. Nobody can take you into a place where you feel like you're less than. You will always be in this place where you say, you know what, even in spite of all my mistakes and in spite of everything I've ever done and the stuff I did even today, that God looks at me and he says, I'm godly because I'm righteous because of Jesus. And that whatever I have to pour out with him today, he's not going to look down on me and think, Steve, I cannot believe you did it again. You know, my forgiveness has some limits, you know. He doesn't have that conversation with me. He just says, I want you to know I'm ready to pour out some more forgiveness over your life. And when I pour it over you, it's going to be an incredible blessing. And along with that, I'm going to pour out my protection over you, and I'm going to deliver you from where you're at. And you know what the cool thing is that through forgiveness and through his blessing and through his deliverance, he delivers you from the very sin that you have to keep going back to him for. And eventually, you're going to quit going back to him over those things. Amen. He says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by a bit and bridle, for they will not come to you. I get this picture of religion right here as I read that little piece right there. You know, there are some places that go, you need to do this, okay? You need to get down before the altar. You need to handle it before everybody. You need to make sure that you grovel in front of everybody. You got to do it this way and do it that way, and then you're going to be okay. And you know what? God never wants us to put a bridle in our mouth and let man lead us anywhere and say, this is what you're going to do. Because it's always between you and God, and it's always handled heart to heart, and it's not something that has to be, we shouldn't have to lead you around with a bridle, because if we have to do that, it's not in your heart anyway. Amen. You know what I mean? If your heart's not in it, don't even bother. This thing is a heart thing, you know? That when we get before God and we ask for forgiveness and we lay things out before him, we're doing it because we want to, because we want our relationship, because our heart is toward him, because that song we sing is what we really mean. It's what we really think. It's what our real goals are in life for when it comes to Him. And so that's where we are. And it's that thing that drives us to the altar. Not because I tell you, okay, everybody, it's time to put the bit in your mouth and let me lead you to the altar and you know what you need to do in front of everybody. Because I've seen that stuff in church and it's sickening. It's sickening because God's not in it. You know what I mean? Man, I feel like kind of passionate about that. I don't know, anyway. But it's got to be a thing of the heart. It said, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts Him. Man, for everybody out there who's just doing whatever they want to do and they're living large and they're living la vida loca or whatever you want to call it, right? They're out there just living it, doing what they want to do. They are miserable people because they're having to live with their life. Anybody remember what it was like to live with your failures in your life and not have Jesus? Anybody remember those days?
Yeah.
It's not a fun place to be. Because you have to live with you. You have to go to bed at night with you, right? You have to deal with you every day. But for the one who trusts God and trusts that He's the one who pours out forgiveness and He's the one who brings the blessing and He's the one who brings deliverance and protection to you, when you believe in all that and you actually trust in Him, His unfailing love will wrap you up and you will feel like in the midst of pain and problems and everything, you're like, it's going to be okay. You're going to be like the Tom Seibold spiritual, the spiritual Tom Seibold. It's going to be all right. You know what I mean? I don't even know if I said that right, Tom. I did the best I could. Yeah. Be all right. So it says, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. You righteous sing, and all of you who are upright in heart. Man, we can rejoice in the midst of this. And I don't know about you, but these are hard times right here. Let's just be real. When you finally have to deal with the fact that, you know what, I'm not the person I thought I was. I'm having all kinds of issues. These things are failures in my life. I'm caught in sin. I'm in a mess. And you're having this conversation with God, and God pours out His forgiveness, and the blessing falls over you, and you feel His protection wrap around you. That's the moment where you can finally rejoice in the midst of that mess. Because you know what? You will not do that if you don't understand this relationship. If you don't understand that forgiveness equals blessing, you're going to have a problem. I don't know about you, but forgiveness for a long time for me felt like I was kind of groveling, and I groveled just right, and then God poured it out. That's not it. See, God wants to do it. He's like, get up off your knees. You don't have to do it like that. Come to me. I want to talk with you. I want you to tell me about what's going on in your life. I want you to tell me what you've been doing. Because I have something for you that's going to be a huge blessing in the midst of this pain. I know you're crying right now, but I've got something good for you. And when He pours that out, there's something that's so heartwarming about the love of God in the midst of failure that is absolutely like the best feeling you've ever had in your life. That when things aren't going right and you feel worthless and everything's just falling apart, and He comes to you and He pours out His forgiveness over you, and you feel His love wrap around you, and you feel like you're protected finally, even in the midst of something that feels a little dangerous, you know? When God covers you up and does all that, it's just, there's something that wells up inside of you that doesn't even seem to make sense. It's when we talk about this peace that passes all understanding, this is what we're talking about. It's a peace that goes beyond anything that makes any sense. Because here you are in one of your worst moments, crying your eyes out before the Lord, admitting that you're a failure, and then all of a sudden there's something wells up inside of you and says, you know what, today is a great day in the Lord, you know? I'm feeling pretty good right now, you know?
Amen.
And you know, it just doesn't seem to make sense, but that's where joy comes from. Even in the midst of pain, joy wells up, right?
Amen.
So it's important that we understand how to navigate sin. And when I say navigate it, don't travel with it, okay? I mean, let me probably restate that. How we navigate restoration, let's call it that. It's important that we understand how we navigate that process with the Lord, because we don't need to be afraid of these conversations. Because this is the very thing that we're oftentimes missing in the midst of a really painful time. We're missing this blessing because we don't want to have the conversation. We're feeling kind of like completely like stifled spiritually because we don't really want to talk about it. And it's also been misunderstood, and oftentimes people felt like they had to do that with people, and they didn't have to do it with people, they had to do it with the Lord. It's a very different process, you know? There's no reason to add shame and guilt to shame and guilt, you know what I mean? I just don't see any point in it, you know? I think let God deal with those things and let that stuff melt away. Anybody here ever dealt with shame and guilt in your life before? And I've been there, okay? Like, those are hard things to handle. But God wants to set you free from those things, and it's this process that works that way. And I love reading some of David's stuff, because as you read it, you begin to see him walking through these things with God. And a lot of times we run into problems in life, and people come and say, what do I do? Well, I mean, David's a great example when you look at it, and you say, well, how do you walk through this stuff? How do you walk through the things where you do something you didn't want to do, you failed in life, And then you got to face God and you got to deal with stuff and you want to have a clear conscience and you want your heart to be clean before God. How do you do all that? There it is, you know. Enjoy reading your Psalms because they're all through the Psalms, right? So I just want to pray that tonight that God just kind of solidifies this in your heart and you realize that forgiveness equals blessing. And then on the other side of blessing is protection. And on the other side of his protection is your rejoicing, you know. Because it just gets gooder and gooder, as they say in Kentucky. You know what I mean? Just gooder and gooder, right? So I want to pray over you today, okay? Father, I just thank you so much for this word. I thank you that as we read the Psalms, Lord, and we read the heart of David, Lord, that we just see a picture of you that is just so accurate. It's so right, Lord. We know that as we read it, it's confirmed in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that this is very much a picture of your heart for us, Lord. That, Lord, we can have that conversation, that we can talk with you about the things and the failures of life, the sins that we've gotten caught in. And, Lord, that as we get before you and do that, Lord, that your forgiveness covers us and your forgiveness is a blessing like no other blessing. And, Lord, that not only do we walk away blessed, Lord, but then you wrap your arms around us and you protect us and you take care of us. And, Lord, that peace that we've been looking for so long, even in the midst of our failures and our sin, Lord, that begins to well up and we begin to rejoice again. Lord, that you put a song back in us again, that we can get excited again, even in the midst of pain. That even when everybody's pointing the finger at us, Lord, we know all you're doing is hugging us, and you're good with us. So, Lord, I pray that you help us to be okay with the fact that you're good with us, even if no one else is. Lord, that really all we're here to do is to please you, and to worship you, and to glorify you. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to make our relationship right with you. Lord, because we know when we're right with you, we're right with everybody as best we can be. So, Lord, we just love you and thank you and praise you for all that you're doing tonight. And we pray that you just solidify this word in our hearts through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
So, when I think about King David, a shepherd who became a king because God wanted him to be a king, a man who wrote the majority of the book of Psalms, a man that sinned just like we sinned. And I think about the Apostle Paul, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was a man. He sinned just like we sin. The thing that both of them had in common, that they knew the Lord, they trusted the Lord, and they weren't afraid to confess to the Lord what went on in their life. In the letter to the Romans, Paul went through a discourse. It's just, he didn't like who he was. He didn't do what he wanted to do. He wanted to do what he didn't want to do. I mean, he goes on and on for verses talking about doing the wrong thing. A man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But at the end of chapter 7, the one thing he says was, "Thank God for Jesus Christ who delivers me." And we're in the same place. Thank God for Jesus Christ who delivers me. I'm a man just like David was. I'm a man just like Paul was. I sin just like David did. I sin just like Paul did. But thank God that Jesus Christ delivered me. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's an opportunity for that to happen tonight. You can step into that relationship where your sins are forgiven, where you're washed clean, where you get to a point that you can understand what sin is and what we need to do to overcome it. In that same chapter, Paul talked about before he knew the law, he didn't know sin. But after he knew the law, he knew what sin was. And he was a man that sinned. God forgives. He loves us, loves each and every one of us. And He wants us to step into a relationship with Him that washes that sin away and gives us all a new beginning. And when Mike was talking tonight, if we don't do anything else when we go to that door, we need to give somebody hope. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's righteousness. All of us should be at the same place. Prayer team, come on and be ready to pray. Anybody that needs prayer, come on up and get prayer tonight for whatever reason. We've had an awesome service tonight. There's been prayer. We've heard testimonies. Fantastic message. God is touching people. He wants to touch you. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this night, Lord. We thank You for who You are, for what You do, Father God. You're so awesome, Lord. Thank You that You love us, Father God, that You forgive us no matter what we do, Father. That we're always able to come to You and ask You for forgiveness, to ask You for Your love, Father God, and You freely give it. And we thank You so much for that. Again, Lord, we thank You for this night. We thank You for what You do in each and every life, Father God. Be with each and every one. Guide and lead and touch, Father God. Help us to be instruments of Your love, messengers of Your peace, and be able to offer hope to somebody as we go throughout the rest of this week. We love You, we praise You, and we give You all the glory in Christ's name. Amen.